All right, Rabbi say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Nun Ches 58. We are picking up on Nun Zayin with base 57b, and we are picking up with Tanoihi, which is five lines up in the bottom. So, if you remember again, which was actually quite interesting, all this time we were speaking about Trefa, but yet the one thing we didn't have was an active working definition. Now the Gemara begins to give us a definition. Tanoihi, the Gemara says, the true definition of a Trefa is subject to a machlokes Tanoihi. This Sanya, Ubagul Golas. So, we'll say it's actually talking about a different kind of discussion. Ubagul Golas, Achi Yeshpo Nekev Echad Aruch. Afilu nikavim harbei mitzarfen lamalim mikdach. So we'll say. So if you look at Rashi for just a moment, mitzarfen. So literally, again, little translation of this statement is: and with a skull, ultimately, again, the skull transmits tuma up until the point that it has a hole. Even if the hole is long and narrow, and even if there are multiple smaller holes, so ultimately, again, the skull is deemed deficient at the moment that the holes themselves combine to form the shiva malim mikdach, the size of like a drill, the size of a drill opening. Look at Rashi. Now this is talking about something different. It's tafrin malim mikdach, b'shuv eina matame ba'ohel. We'll say, so without, this is not tumas ohel now. If the skull has a large enough hole, it does not transmit tumas ohel. The Beis Shammai pulled the shidra of the Golgolas, then a gedesh you need to find. So the Gemara says, So there was an episode that occurred. Inbol is a place. There was an episode that occurred in Inbol. Gilgaluso, with a person ultimately again who had an opening in his skull. And what happens? Va'asulu chiduk shel kiruya. And I will say, interestingly enough, they fashioned him some type of covering from the shell of a dried out gourd. So they patched the opening of his skull with a piece of a dried out gourd. And what happens? So the Gemara says, V'chaya, and he lived. He lived afterwards. Amar lo Reb Shimon Elazar, Misham Raya. So Reb Shimon Elazar said, is that, so we'll say, so the point that they're trying to make over here is as follows. You're telling me that a hole in the skull is a trefa. I'm telling you that there was the episode in Inbol where the guy had a hole in his skull. They patched it, and what? And what? He lived. So again, clearly again, that's not a trefa, to which the Gemara says, ultimately again, you're going to bring a raya from there. That's not a raya. Misham raya, yimosa chamahaya. That happened during the summertime when it was warm. V'chevan sha'avru alav yimosa tzina miyad meis. I will say there's a follow-up to that story. What's the follow-up to the story? He lived during the summer, and as soon as wintertime came, what happened? He died. So in other words, I will say, even in a situation of trefa, we discussed this yesterday, you could have kind of like minor fixes. You could put a band-aid, literally or figuratively, on it, but it is not going to cure the trefa situation. On Rav Acha bar Yaakov, so halacha, the halacha is trefa yoledes mishabechas. Rav Acha bar Yaakov says, in reality, even an animal which is a trefa has the ability to give birth and to even quote-unquote improve. In other words, that a trefa can show signs of improvement and can even go ahead and give birth, but yet still be a trefa. Amra Meimar, Sameimar said as follows. Hani Beil Shavu was another interesting case. If a trefa animal lays eggs, so what's the halacha? Top of Nun Ches. Shichla Kama Asira. The first batch of eggs are Asir. Now Rashi says as follows. Shichla Kama Bilaz poshtash osan shein b'me'ah b'shasha nitrafa. Kulan asuros du'u bar yerech imohu v'ima nitrafa. So this is actually very interesting. So the first batch of eggs Rashi is defining as the batch of eggs that were inside of the mother at the time she became a trefa. So we paskin, or at least some paskin, ubar yerech imohi, that the child in utero is considered to be an extension ultimately of the mother, and therefore halacha l'maisa, when the mother becomes a trefa, the eggs inside of her become a trefa as well. Now that's just the first batch. Mikan ve'elich, right, from that point forward, any eggs after the first batch, havele zev zeh gorim. Ultimately, in Abose, will be a zev zeh gorim. Zev zeh gorim means the mother produces it, but the male also produces it. So therefore, again, the eggs are not considered to be the exclusive offspring of a trefa, but instead are a combination of a trefa and the kosher animal, and therefore will be permitted. Fine. So we'll say, so that's the position of a meimar, that if you have eggs of a trefa, eggs that were in the mother at the time she became a treifa will be usser. They have the status of treifa. Subsequent eggs, ultimately, again, will be mutter. Why? Zev is a gorim. Because they are the offspring of both the mother and the father. There are two contributions here, and therefore the eggs will be permitted. Esei, the Gemara is the kasha. Esei, Rav Ashi, la Ameimar. So Rav Ashi raised the kasha to Ameimar. What did he say? B'shavin, b'beitzas trefa sha'asura b'pnei shegadla b'iser. So we'll say they agree that the eggs that are laid ultimately again, right, by a treifa are usser. Why? Because the egg, because the egg grew in Isser. Now, both say, now what does that sound like? What that sounds like is what? All of the eggs are a treifa, right? I'm sorry. All of the eggs of a treifa aren't good. The first batch, the second batch, the 27th batch, they're all not good. So that's a contradiction. To which the Gemara says, no, it's not. Hasam b'desafna me'ara. And both say, that's where, literally b'desafna me'ara means it warmed itself from the earth, which means that the chicken is giving birth to eggs without a male. Remember, again, a chicken can give birth to, right, unfertilized eggs. So both say, so ultimately, again, the Gemara says, so here's the logic. You see, Amema's logic, both say, is as follows. Eggs that are in the chicken at the time of the treifa incident are considered to be a treifa, because they're an extension of the mother. Subsequent, and remember again, they're already inside of the mother. Subsequent eggs, which are the result of a male and a female, is what's called zev zegorim. There are two different contributing factors here. So because of that, the eggs will be mutter. If the chicken, however, lays eggs without the presence of a male, then what? Then what, Rabbi say? Then Allah said those eggs are just the direct result of the mother, the treifa mother, and therefore the eggs will have the status of treifa. Good. So the Gemara says, V'lishni lei v'shech l'kama. So I don't understand why you're giving this distinction. Why don't you instead say that the Braisa is talking about the first batch of eggs? Where does everyone agree that the eggs will be usser? That's the first batch of eggs that were laid, that were the eggs that were inside of the mother at the time of the treifa incident, to which the Gemara says, Im kain, gadla gomra mibayale. If that's the case, I will say, then the Braisa should not have read, v'shavin b'beitzas treifa shasurim neisha gadla, it should have said, mipneisha gomra. Because it was finished. Rather, again, it's clear that it's talking about two different types of eggs. This braisa, that seems to indicate that the eggs of a treifa are always usser, is talking about where it laid the eggs without a male. Ela hadisnan vlad treifa. We'll say, but that's what you learned in the Mishnah. Vlad treifa, the offspring of a treifa. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, lo yikrov l'gabi mizbeach. Well, as it says, you cannot offer up such an animal on the mizbeach. Rabbi Yeshua says, yikarev, you can offer it up on the Mizbeach. So, what are they arguing about? Bishenitrafa ulabasof ibra. But see, what they're arguing about is the following case, where the mother became a treifa, and then afterwards became pregnant. Rabbi Eliezer Savar, zev zegorim. Rabbi Eliezer says, I'm going to say, in that case, it's zev zegorim. You have the mother, who's a treifa, but we're assuming over here that the father is totally healthy. So, zev zegorim, you have two contributing factors. Rabbi Eliezer says, zev zegorim is aser. Rabbi Yeshua Savar, zev zegorim, mutter. Rabbi Yeshua says that, no, when you have two, the only time that the offspring of a treifa will be aser is when it's only a result of the treifa. But if there is another non-treifa influence in there, ultimately, again, it will be mutter. Ihachi, if that's the case, ademiflegi lagavoa, liflegu lahajot. If that's the case, then why are you having a machlokes regarding offering up on the mizbeach? No need to have that machlokes. You should frame the machlokes in terms of what is permitted for normative, regular consumption. To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Lo diacha kocho de Rabbi Yeshua. To teach you the strength of the position of Rabbi Yeshua. Da filu legavoa namishar. Because it was Rabbi Yeshua holds that zev zegorim is mutter to the point that what? That such an animal could even be offered up as a carbon. But why not go ahead and argue in a case of hedyot, right? Regular consumption. To teach you the strength of the position of Rabbi Eliezer. The Amar, da filu, lehedyot nami aser. Because he holds that even a bosef for normative consumption, ultimately, again, this animal will be aser. Because it will say the ability to permit something is always considered to be a stronger stronger display of halachic muscle than the ability to go ahead and prohibit it. Umodim bebeitzas trefa shasura. And I will say, when you said before that they agree with the egg of a trefa, that it's going to be asur. What is that talking about? That's bidisafna me'ara. That's ultimately talking about a situation where what? Where halacha lemaisa, we'll say safna me'ara literally means it becomes warmed from the ground, which is where it lays eggs without a male. So bidisafna dechad gorimu, because we'll say in that case, there's only one causative factor, i.e. the trefa mother, and therefore halacha lemaisa, the eggs will be asur. So we'll say, where we're holding right now is in Shitas Amemar, that says as follows. And if when the mother becomes a trefa, any eggs inside of the mother at that time, what's their status? Aser, right? Ubar yerech imohi, right? Whatever is inside of the mother, right, at the time, is the status of the mother, those are trefa. We'll say, Amemar then says that what? That halacha lemaisa, but subsequent eggs that she lays, what's the halacha? They're mutter. What's the logic? Ze vize goreim. But that is only true if she's laying the eggs with a male. If at the end of the day she's laying eggs on her own, then those eggs have the same status as first batch eggs, and therefore will be trefa eggs and will be aser. Good. So far that's where we are. Rav Acha, k'Rav Acha bar Yaakov, umasni la l'da'amimar k'da'amron. So let's say Rav Acha holds like Rav Acha bar Amemar, and he states the ruling in accordance with Amemar, as we have just said before. Ravina, lo safer la kid Rav Acha bar Yaakov. On the other hand, Ravina Bosai did not hold like Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Like Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Umasni lo l'da Amemar b'hai lishna. And his interpretation of Amemar was as follows. Amra Amemar, so this is now an alternate version of Amemar. Amra Amemar, hani be'i, this suffix trefa. We'll say, now listen to this case. In this version, it's a little bit different. What is Amemar talking about? Not a case of a vadai trefa, but rather a case of a suffix trefa. A suffix trefa. So, hani be'i the suffix trefa. There were these eggs, ultimately, again, of a suffix trefa animal. The shich lakama mishahinon lahu. Ultimately, again, that's what. So, we'll say, when that chicken lays its first batch of eggs. Remember again, this is a suffix trefa. The chicken lays its first batch of eggs. Ihadra vitana, if it lays a second batch of eggs, sharyon. Then ultimately again, not only are the second batch, but the first batch is mutter as well. Ve'ilo, but if it does not lay a second batch of eggs, then what? Asiron. Ultimately again, everything will be asr. They're both saying, now what's the logic of that? The logic of that is as follows. In this version of Amemar, if the animal is really a trefa, it will not be able to give birth to a second batch of eggs. If it goes ahead and gives birth to the second batch of eggs, that clearly indicates that what? It's not a trefa. If it's not a trefa, then what? Then the first batch is going to be mutter as well. Eser Rashi l'Amemar. Suppose say Rav Ashi raised the kasha to Amemar. Umodim bebeitzas trefa shasura mipnei shegadla beiser. Everyone agrees with the egg of a trefa that it's aser. Why? Because it grew up in a state of iser. So the Gemara says, Hasam, what is that case talking about? Amar li Hasam bideshich lakama. That's talking about the first batch of eggs, right? Not the subsequent batch of eggs. Imkain, if that's the case, gadla, why does it say gadla? Right, growing gamra mi barili. It should be talking about what? Should be saying about, say, the first batch of eggs which finished inside of the mother. So which the Gemara says, you're right, tani gamra. Change the verbiage here to read not gadla but gamra. Elohadisnan, but that which we learned, vlad trefa, the offspring of a trefa, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, im lo yikrav the gabi mizbeach. You should not offer it up on the mizbeach. Rabbi Yeshua, but remember again, this is now the same conversation we just had before, but just in a different version of Amemar. Or the first version of Amemar has Amemar talking about a chicken that is a vadai trefa. Second version of Amemar has Amemar talking about a situation where what? It's a suffix trefa. So we'll say, so now we elahad this now, but that's which we learned. Vlad trefa, the offspring of a trefa. Rabbi Eliezer Omer lo yikrav l'gai mizbeach. Rabbi Eliezer says you can't offer up the offspring of a trefa as a carbon. Rav Yeshua Omer Yikar, Rav Yeshua says, yes, you can. B'may kamiflagi, and what are they arguing about? Kishe Ibra ulubasof nitrafa. Rav Yeshua says, what they are arguing about is where the animal became pregnant and then ultimately became a trefa. Rabbi Eliezer Savar, Yu'ubar Yerech Umo. So we'll say Rabbi Eliezer says that ultimately, so again, it's pregnant first and then trefa afterwards. Rabbi Eliezer says that the offspring is considered to be an extension of the mother. And therefore, again, just as the mother is a trefa, so too, again, the offspring will be a trefa. Rabbi Yoshua Savar, Ubar Lav Yerech Imohu. And Rabbi Yoshua holds that no, the Ubar is its own distinct entity, not an extension of the mother. To which the Gemara says, if that's the case, Ihachi, Admiflagi Legavoa, Liflagula Hedyot, if that's the case, then instead of going ahead and arguing in a case of Hegdish, why not argue in a case of Hedyot? And I as well say, who cares about the Mizbeach right now? There's a more practical application over here, which is what? Consumption. Consumption, to which the Gemara says, Lahodi'acha Kocho de Rabbi Yoshua. But say ultimately again to highlight the koch of Rabbi Yoshua. I, so why not argue in a case ultimately again of Hedyot in order to go ahead and highlight the position of Rabbi Eliezer, to which the Gemara once again says, koach de teira adifle. I will say again, we lend more credence to those who permit rather than to those who prohibit. Umodim vadai bebeitzas trefa. Sha'asura b'deshich l'kama. And I will say, everyone agrees that what? That certainly, again, with the eggs of an animal that is a vadai trefa, that certainly the first batch of eggs will be usher. My taima, what's the reason for this? Gufahi. Because I will say, again, that first batch of eggs that comes from a chicken, which is a trefa, are directly considered to be an extension of that trefa mother, and therefore are trefas. V'hilchasa. And I will say, here is the halacha. B'zachar, koshne masar chodesh. So we'll say the halacha is that with a zachar, right, with a zachar, 12 months. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. V'hilchasa b'zachar, safek trefa didei. We'll say, with a male animal, if you have a case of safek trefa, you're not sure if the male animal is a trefa or not. Ishoi shne masar chodesh, vadai lo nitraf. Vishuv ein tzarech lebotko. So we'll say, if the animal, so if you have an animal that's a suffix trefa, see if it's a zachar, if it's a male animal, if it lives 12 months, that's an indication that what? It is not a trefa. It is not a trefa. It's totally kosher. Vishuv ein tzarech lebotko, kegonim suffix drusa, o nefula, o shemanike, vakrum machmashir no shaksa. So we'll say, so with a male animal, if you have a suffix trefa situation, the way you prove vitality is longevity. Vitality through longevity. Longevity as defined by 12 months. Animal lives 12 months, you're good to go. What about a female? Benekeva, kol she'ina yoleda. So we'll say by Benekeva, if the mother doesn't give birth, if the mother doesn't give birth, then halacha lemaisa, that's a sign that the animal is a trefa. So the Gemara says, now we'll say, now obviously I want to point out, not giving birth by itself is not a simen trefa. This is talking about where you know something happened to the animal, right? Something happened to the animal, and I'm not sure is it a trefa or not. If the event, the potential trefa event occurred, and the animal also does not give birth, that's indicative that the animal is a trefa. And the Bosei, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins ultimately, like the first version of Ameimar, namely when the animal becomes a trefa, in a vadai trefa we're talking about over here, any eggs that come out after, so if the animal became a trefa and was pregnant, right, with the eggs, that first batch of eggs ultimately, again, are trefas. Subsequent batches of eggs, their status will depend on what? If there was a zachar or not. If there was a zachar, they'll be permitted because zev is egorim, but ultimately, again, if there's no male there, but ultimately the chicken is just laying unfertilized eggs, then those are considered to be an extension of the mother, will be trefas as well. Beautiful. Says the Gemara. Amar Rav Huna, kol beria she'in bo etzem einu miskayim yedveis chodesh. So once it comes along, Rav Huna, and gives us a very interesting fact. Any living organism which does not have bones, right, which does not have bones, does not live for more than 12 months. I don't know what the biological term for this. Is it exoskeleton? Exoskeleton. All right, doesn't have bones. right? So any organs that does not have bones, ultimately, again, does not live for more than 12 months. I will say, now understand, this is not a trefa issue. This is just a fact issue. This is what Chazal are telling us, right? That without the bones, it doesn't live for more than 12 months. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Papa, Shvamina mid Ravuna. So what Rav Papa says, in addition to just being a very interesting fact to have under your belt, this actually has other halachic ramifications. How so? Hadam Rav Shmuel, Kishos Shitlia Bi'ibel. Supposed to listen to this. If you have cucumbers, which became wormy, Bi'ibel Rabosai means while they are still attached to the ground, Asura. Those cucumbers, right, or melons, will ultimately, again, become usur. Now, both say, now, what's the logic? Here, look at Rashi, Asura. Hatolas v'achila, v'cheva d'mehaleches b'soch ha-kishos, v'ha-kishos mechubaros b'karka, shoretz al ha-aretz karina bay. Suppose it's actually very interesting halacha. So a worm, of course, is a sheretz, but it's only problematic if at some point in time it crawled on the earth. If it did not crawl on the earth, even if it's infesting the food item, it's not a sheretz if it was never on the earth. So we'll say, so therefore the Gemara says as follows. If you have these kishos, these melons or these cucumbers, right, which ultimately are attached to the ground and you find worms in them, so because they are attached to the ground, they're considered as if they're in the ground. And because of that, the worms that are inside of them have the status of sheretz. That's the asura. Okay, Amud Beis. Hani tamri dekada. Listen to this. Similarly, if you have dates in a basket, lebaser tracer yarchi shasa sharyon, they will say those dates, even if they have worms inside of them, after 12 months, will be permitted. But say, what's the logic? What's the logic? Because what do we just say? Anything that does not have bones does not live for more than 12 months. Which means what they will say? Then halacha lemaisa, if you put the dates in the basket and they're there 12 months later, if there are worms in there, then what's clear? What's clear? Those worms didn't come from the ground. Those worms developed in after the dates were already in the basket. If they developed once the worms were already in the basket, they both said that on a technical level, Mara's not suggesting you eat it, but on a technical level, those are not called shrutzen. And therefore, halacha lemaisa can technically be consumed. Amar Rav. Rav said, this is actually very interesting. Les baka bar yoma. There is no such thing as a gnat that is more than a day old. In other words, that the lifespan of a gnat is a day. But les didva bas shasa. And there is no such thing as a fly that is more than a year old. So apparently, again, flies don't live for more than a year, right? Gnats do not live for more than a day. Amra papala baye vaha amri inshi. Shev Shani Imra Biksa Mivaka. Shabbos say, they're actually quite interesting. But yet people say an interesting expression that for 7 years the gnat refused her mate. Right? For 7 years, Mrs. Gnat, right, would not have relations with Mr. Gnat. Why not? The Amrele, because she got pregis with him. Why did she get pregis with him? The Amrele, Chazise Lebar Mechuza. This is actually incredible. Why did she get pregnant with him? Because she said to him, do you remember that time, right, when we were flying around by the beach, and what happens? You saw that fat mechuzin, right, who was coming out of the water. He was toweling off. V'solik v'ichrich b'sadinin. Like, literally, he was wrapping himself in the towels. V'esivas alei umatsas mina. And you went, and you mamish, you know, sucked the blood out of him. And you never told me about this. You never told me about this. So she's bright gives it in. The godless of this story is, this happened 7 years ago, and mam is just like today. You see that there are certain parallels between the human kingdom, right, the animal kingdom. It's an incredible, incredible thing. So the point the Gemara is making over here is, here's this exception about the gnats. And I will say, obviously, in all seriousness, by the way, what's the point of this? See, we're using it to show, you're telling me a gnat doesn't live for a day, right? It doesn't live more than a day. Here it appears that gnats live for longer amounts of time. I will say, in all seriousness, these type of metaphors and parables absolutely do have lessons. And all kidding aside, I will say, there is this yisod that sometimes the greatest handicap in relationships is where you just hold on to things and obsess over them over and over and over and over and have an inability to move forward in a relationship. That's actually the message that Chazal are going ahead and bringing out from this little cute story. At some point in time, you have to let go or move on. Otherwise, you simply destroy all of your relationships from within. But for purposes of our Gemara, it appears that the gnat lives for longer than a day. To which the Gemara says, Amrlei ulatame, he said to him, well, according to that same reasoning, there's another expression, Hada Amri Inchi, she sin money parzala, talala labika, but Korna say, we'll say that the gnat could carry literally 60 mana of steel on its, we'll say, literally means its beak, it means its stinger, right? Mi'ika, ihu gufe kamahavi. So we'll say, so could it be that the gnat, which is tiny, could go ahead and carry all of this steel on its stinger? So of course that's not true. Ella b'mani dido, hachnami b'shani dido. Rather, I will say, obviously Chazal, we're talking about that the gnat could carry this weight relative to the gnat. So the 60 money doesn't, the 60 money doesn't mean money like we know it, but it's not money, right? So too over here, when we speak about 7 years, it's not years, right? Not years, not time. Okay. Knan Hasam. Behema balos heiraglayim. So listen to this interesting case. Up until now, we've always been speaking about animals which are deficient in some way. Now we're going to speak about animals which have extra limbs. What happens if an animal has 5 legs? Has 5 legs. So what's the halacha? Oh, she'en la'ela shalosh. Or only has 3 legs. What's the halacha? Harei zemum. So we'll say too many or too few legs ultimately represents a mum. Amar Rav Huna, lo shanu ela shechisa biyiter biyad. That's only true if the additional or missing leg is one of the 4 legs. Aval chaser biyaser biregel. But if halacha lemaisa, the additional or the deficient leg, ultimately again is the hind leg, then what? Trefa. Ultimately again, the animal is a trefa. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, trefa nami havia. It is also a trefa. My time, what's the reason for that? Kol yaser kinotel damir. This is actually an incredible idea. Anything that is extra is as if it's missing. So in other words, an extra leg or an extra anything is the same thing as if the limb or the part of the animal is missing. So the Gemara says, Ahichi yusa to havile tarta sanyo dibi. So we'll say, there was an animal with 2 cecums, right? We spoke about this. The sagi de bivi, Allah says the animal. I don't know if cecums is the right plural for it, but it's okay. Right? Right? This part of the stomach. It has 2 cecums. So what happens? I suha l'ravina. They brought this animal before Ravina. Vitarfa. And Ravina said it was treif. Why? Mid Rafuna. Because it was say based on the same with Rafuna. Because what did Rafuna just say? Rafuna said that halacha l'maisa. Rafuna said anything that has something extra ultimately is as if it's deficient. So Avuna said, therefore, if you have 2 parts, 2 stomachs, that ultimately is like missing a stomach, which then creates an animal, a trefa, to which the Gemara says, V'ishafchan lahadadi kshera. The Bosse, what this literally means is, if they pour into each other, then the animal will be mutter. Bosse, which ultimately means that if the 2 stomachs are working in concert with each other, they pour into each other, then ultimately, again, the animal will not be a trefa. Hahi gufsa, do have a nafka mi bekasi lahovlila. So we'll say, so there was an animal that had this gufsa. We'll say, gufsa, Rashi says, is a kanet basar, an extra, like, tube-like amount of flesh. So we had this extra tube-like amount of flesh that extended ultimately, again, from the reticulum to a different part of the stomach. Suffer from the tube to the stomach. Suffer Avashi in the mitzvah. Avashi wanted to declare the animal treif. Why, Rabbi Osai? Because it had this extra piece of flesh. It had this extra piece of flesh in it. Armoli Rafuna, Mar Barchi al Ravashi. So I'll say Rafuna, Mar Barchi al Ravashi. So the Gemara says, Kolhani Chiyui Briyaisa Havi Istu. So actually, he said, I will say, these types of animals, all of them, have this extra piece of flesh. In other words, this was not a simen treva. Because in fact, all of these animals possessed this similar type of extra piece of flesh. Hau gufsa, dava me'avra mi'beikasi likarsa. So we'll say similarly again, there was this animal that had this extra tube of flesh that extended again from the reticulum to the paunch. So what happens? Savar ma'avra avashi lakshura. So ma'avra avashi wanted to say the animal is kasher. Why? So the Gemara says, because he wanted to say, I guess this is the way this animal is, that this extra piece of flesh, I will say, is not indicative of a trefa, but rather, again, perhaps this is just the nature of this type of animal. Amar le Rav Hoshia, atu kulu b'chad mikhta machtinu. So Rav Hoshia said to him, you can't go ahead and just simply paint all of the animals in a broad stroke. In other words, just because you could use that svara, that this is how the animal matures in one case, doesn't mean you could use that in all cases. Hecha de itmar itmar, hecha de lo itmar, lo itmar. I will say, when Chazal said that the extra tube of flesh is considered to be normative, then you could say it. But where Chazal did not say it, you can't say it. Nasan bar Shila, who was the chief butcher in Sipori, said the following before Rebbe. What did he say? Listen to this. Let's say you have an animal who has two intestines that are coming out of the animal. Two intestines. She trefa. Ultimately, and we'll say two intestines is going to make the animal a trefa. Ukenegdan ba'ov kshera. Yet again, a similar condition by birds will be totally fine. The Medram Urim says, second wide line on Chesam and Aleph, Medram Urim, when is that true? B'sheyotzin b'shnei mekomos. Only if the two intestines come out of two parts of the stomach. Aval yotzin b'mokom echad. But I will say, ultimately, again, if they come out of the same place, v'kolin ad ke'etzba, and when they end within a finger's breadth of each other, then kshera. Ultimately, again, they'll be kasher. Pligi ba Rabbi Ami Rabbi Asi. So Rabbi Ami Rabbi Asi argued about this. Chadamar hu dahadri va'arvi. So one said that it's only true if the two intestines ultimately what? Come back and reconnect with one another. The Chadamar afagav lo hadri va'arvi. And the other opinion said, no, even if they don't reconnect with each other, the animal could still be kasher. Bishlam laman damar hu laman damar hu dahadri va'arvi. So according to the opinion, it says that the two intestines at some point have to reconnect. That's ultimately what the Brisa said meant when it said that they come together in a finger's breadth. We'll say ultimately again, but when it says that the intestines do not have to come back and recombine, what does it mean when it says ad ke'etzba? Ad ke'etzba milamata. We'll say what it means is at the area where the two intestines end off and reconnect to another organ, they have to be at least within a finger's breadth of each other in order to go ahead and make sure the animal is not a trefa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ibnitla hanotza psula. Let's remember again, Rabbi Yehuda said that if the small feathers, remember again, a bird apparently has two feathers. One set of feathers are the exterior, longer feathers, where everyone agrees that even if those feathers are not present, the animal is not the trefa. And the second set of feathers are the smaller feathers, which are right next to the flesh of the animal, that apparently, that the Tanakam said, the Rabbanon said, even if they're missing, the animal is not a trefa. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, if the animal is missing those feathers, the animal is a trefa. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, nitla hanotza psula. Therefore, if the small feathers are removed, the animal is pasul a trefa. Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yishmael, Amru Davar Echad. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yishmael both said the same thing. Rabbi Yehuda had the Amr, so also Rabbi Yehuda is what we just said in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yishmael, what did Rabbi Yishmael say? So once apparently Rabbi Yishmael also agrees that the small feathers, Rabbi Osai, have the status of the flesh of the animal, which therefore means what? Which therefore means that if they are missing, halach lemaisa, if they are missing, then halach lemaisa, the animal is considered to be a trefa. So Rabbi Yishmael, this is not Rabbi Yishmael Omer, hanotza mitstarefes. Ultimately, and I will say that the notza, those small feathers, are mistarif combined with the flesh of the animal. And I will say, now what is this talking about? So this is actually talking about a case of pigul. But remember again, going back to our menachos days, so the halacha is, if you have in mind, to go ahead and let's say eat a kezayis of a karban, right? For example, outside of the prescribed time or outside of the prescribed area, the halacha is, right, outside of the prescribed time, the animal could become pigo. If that kezayis is comprised of flesh and small feathers, the small feathers have the ability to combine with the basar to form a kezayis. Which Rabosai tells you what? That the small feathers have the status ultimately of flesh. That's Rabbi Yehuda's shita as well. Which is why Rabbi Yehuda holds that halacha lemaisa, if the small feathers are missing, the animal becomes a trefa. So the Gemara says, therefore, the Gemara is suggesting Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shmuel hold the same way. Amar Rava, not necessarily. Dilma lohi. Ad kan lo kam Rabbi Yehuda hacha el inyan trefa. So we'll say maybe Rabbi Yehuda only holds that the small feathers only impact the animal vis-a-vis its trefa status. Why? Deleka midi demaginale. Because we'll say, again, when the small feathers are gone, there is nothing to protect the animal's flesh at all. And as such, again, that's what makes it a trefa. Avale inyan iflugi, or ifguli, Rabbi say regarding pigul, kirabon sirale, maybe he holds that feathers are not like flesh. Vat kan lo kam Rabbi Yishmael hasam. And furthermore, again, Rabbi Shmuel only holds his shita by pigul. About the inyan treifa, Rabbi will say by treifa, maybe he would disagree, or maybe he would agree, because he would say aguni lo magin. Ultimately, again, there is nothing to protect the animal, and therefore, again, Rabbi will say v'chinitla nami lo ichpaslan. And even those small feathers don't protect the animal against anything, and therefore, even if they're removed, it makes no difference. So, Rabbi will say, so bottom line, we sought to align the positions of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yishmael, to which the Gemara says they don't really align with one another. But I'll say, just so you should know, the way that Rambam paskins is that when it comes to any feathers, right, whether again it's big feathers or small feathers, the absence of feathers does not make the animal a treifa. Good. So the Gemara goes right. We'll say Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Now here's what's interesting. Now we're kind of going back for a moment and kind of speaking about other conditions in the animal. Achuzas adam. We'll see what this means, but this is some type of like blood disease, right? If the animal has some type of blood disease and became ill, or hameushenes. So we'll say meushenes means the animal has suffered from smoke inhalation, or sha'achla hardufni, or the animal ate hardufni. So we'll say hardufni is some type of poison for animals, right? Animal poison. Or sha'achla tsoas tanagolim, or it ate the dung of chickens. O sheshasa mayim haroim, or it drank bad waters, right? Rashi points out that mayim haroim is mayim megulim, water left open and unattended over the course of the night. Or, so we'll say in all of these cases, I'm sorry, not finished yet. Did I skip?
No.
Shasamay Marab Kshera. We'll say ultimately again the animal will not be a trefa, it's still kosher. Achla samamoves. If the animal goes and eats a poison, I will say, but this is human poison. Right? If it eats human poison, Ushe Kisha Nachash, or it was bitten by a snake, Muteres Mishum Trefa. Ultimately again the animal is not a trefa, but Asura Mishum Sakonas Nefashos. Well, it's actually very interesting. So apparently ingesting human poison or going in and being bitten by a snake does not make the animal a trefa. So it's kosher, but what? I can't eat it. Why can't I eat it, Rabbi Yosai? Out of a concern that ultimately, again, the human poison, will still be present in the flesh of the meat, or the snake venom will still be present in the flesh of the animal as well. So it's not a trefa, but I can't eat it. I will say it's actually incredible. So you could have a case ultimately, again, of meat that is absolutely glut, right? It's kosher, but you still can't eat it. So where it goes back to Amar Shmuel, Hel'ita chilsis trefa. We'll say, ultimately, again, the animal ingests chiltis. Ultimately, again, the animal is a trefa. My timer. We'll say, what's the reason? So chiltis, by the way, we spoke about this before, is some type of plant item. Why does chiltis create a problem? My timer. The minkava lohu lemayon. Because we'll say, apparently, the chiltis plant is sharp. And because it's sharp, by definition, it pierces the intestines. So because of that, it renders the animal a trefa. Massive Rav Shizvi, so Rav Shizvi is the kasha, achuzas hadam, so we'll say he quotes a braisa, and the braisa says the animal has blood disease, meushana, smoke inhalation, v'sha'achla hardufni, or it ate animal poison, v'sha'achla tzuas tanagolim, or it ate chicken manure, v'shasa mayim aram, or it drank mayim magulim, Helita, Tia, Chilsis, Upilpilin, or at each of us had these items, which we'll discuss. Tia is some type of bitter grass, or I will say Chilsis, right, or Parpilin or peppers. Achlas Samamaves, or it ate poison. Kshera. Ultimately, again, the animal will be kosher. So he kisha nachash oshenashcha kelev shot and muteres mishum trevas or mishum sakanas nefashas. So we'll come back to that last part. But for our purposes, kashi achilsis achilsis. Rabbi says it's just a contradiction. You just told me before that's what, that if the animal eats chilsis, what's the status of the animal? It's a trefa. It's a trefa. What did this price say? Rabbi said if the animal eats chilsis, what's the halacha? It's totally fine. So which one is it? To which the Gemara says kashi samavas asamavas chilsis achilsis lo kasha. It will say, ultimately, again, the case of chilsis does not pose a problem. Why not? Kan ba'olin, kan bikratin. It will say, one is talking about leaves, and one is talking about grains. The leaves of the chilsis plant are not problematic. They're fine. The grains of chilsis, I will say, are what are sharp and will perforate the intestines, ultimately, again, on the way in. Samamoves, samamoves lokash. So we'll finish with this. Similarly, again, the cases of poison are also not contradictory. Had the day, had the adam. Ultimately, and I will say that halacha lemaisa, right, the samamavis that is problematic for an animal is the samamavis for an animal. The samamavis that is not problematic for an animal is the samamavis ultimately of a human being. So the Gemara says, Tebehema hainu ardufni. Aye, but one second, isn't the samamavis for a behemoth the same thing as hardufni? They're both poisonous materials. Trey gavni samamavis. You're right. The Bryce is just talking about two different types of poison. All right, so we'll stop over here. We'll pick up bottom of Nun Chesem Abezi Meretz Hashem tomorrow.